All right, welcome one and all to our Monday Night Learning Center. Thank you all for being here, where on Monday nights we kind of recap our week and then share a few more things with you all to get you really, really rooted and grounded in the word that we had in the previous week. So our message for the week was, I'm with you all the way, all about God's solidarity. And without further ado, we're going to go ahead and bring in our leader, Mr. Talia Scar.
How are you, Ms. Candy?
I'm fine, sir.
Good deal, good deal. Is Mr. DJ there with?
He's not quite yet, sir.
Okay. Well, not a problem. We're going to go ahead and get started with the call. What I would like to do first, Ms. Candy, is go ahead and open up with prayer, and then we'll get started with our recap of this past week. And this is our learning center, y'all. So, Ms. Candy, if you don't mind, open us up with prayer, please.
Father God, we thank you for allowing us to be here tonight, Lord, to share in your word. Lord, as we go into this call, I pray that all hearts and minds are open and receptive to your word, Lord, that we are all here eager to learn from you, Lord, and that you deposit a word down into each and every spirit that's on this phone tonight, Lord. Lord, we thank you in advance for the learning. We thank you in advance, Lord, for the growth. We thank you, Lord, for helping us to continue to connect with you, spirit to spirit, word to word. In Jesus' name, we place this before you. Amen.
Amen. All righty. For our learning center, this past week we talked about I'm with you all the way, talking about God's solidarity. Now, at any time throughout this call, we're going to be on the phone call approximately 30 minutes. If you have any questions, if you have any comments, any thoughts that you would like to share, please press star 5 and we'll get to you as soon as possible. Again, if you have any questions or comments or thoughts that you want to share, okay, please press star 5 and we'll get with you. Now, on Wednesday night's Bible study, now, I'm going to ask y'all, did y'all get the scripture on Wednesday? Because we talked about it on Sunday as well.
Yes,
and we talked about Paul on the road to Damascus. We talked about King Agrippa, and we talked about, you know, Festus, you know, one of King Agrippa's trials mates who was, you know, because Paul was about to stand before King Agrippa. He's on trial. He's a king. He's judging him. Okay? And it's just amazing how Paul never wavered in his mission. He never had a somber moment. Paul stood before King Agrippa, Miss Candy, and the word of God is supposed to challenge us, everybody. But Paul stood before King Agrippa, and he knew that he was about to stand trial. I wonder if King Agrippa was telling people, hey, pray for me.
All right.
Now, I know that rubs some people maybe the wrong way. But when we say that, do we honestly believe that God is with us all the way? The reason why I ask that is, when you have the job, do you tell people to pray for you to ensure that you get it tomorrow? Or do you say, pray for me as a momentum swing, as a one of those things that the world do? We just picked up and adapted to the world. We use prayer as a lucky charm.
Amen.
Now, I know a couple people may be scratching their heads and things like that, but this is our learning center. And as we recap the week, you find that Paul never did that because he had assurance. He knew why he was sent there. He would have been sometime before that King Agrippa's contemporary. He would have been basically his running mate. He would have been his body to his Clyde. Now, King Agrippa was a bad man. His grandfather and his great-grandfather both one beheaded John the Baptist, had him beheaded. Now, I need y'all to look at this. When we talk about I'm with you all the way, look at Paul's story versus John the Baptist's story. A lot of times we fall into this snare and trap called flesh.
Yes.
We give way to it. We say, God be with me. But do understand the Bible says that people in the world don't understand the things of God. Don't you know that as long as you remain in the spirit, you understand that God is with you all the times? But as soon as you get out of the spirit realm, just because you say the name Jesus don't mean that you're in the spirit. Just because you jump and shout and go to church don't mean that you're in the spirit.
Yes, sir.
So I'm saying that because we can, in folly, we can mistake God's presence with absence. In other words, Candy made it through. Why didn't Chiron? They both said they loved God. Paul, he stood trial and he walked away. John the Baptist stood trial and he had his head cut off. So you mean that God wasn't with John the Baptist? Y'all do know the Bible says some things will remain a mystery, Miss Candy.
Yes, sir.
Faith? Y'all need to understand what faith is. Faith doesn't require that you get an understanding. Faith requires that you have a great trust. In other words, but Mr. Carr, the Bible says, and all you get an understanding. Correct. So I understand that my faith would not let me understand what God's plans are, but my understanding is that I trust him and I don't need to know nothing more. I trust.
Yes, sir.
Any doctors on the phone? So we can talk about this. I'm with you all the way. This is our recap. Do we fully understand how is it that a baby can survive in the pouch in a mother's stomach? Now, you can come with all the terminology you want to. And if that be the case, then why don't some of them make it? Why are some stillborn? Some things we would never, ever understand. Okay? So Paul stood his trial, so did John the Baptist. But John the Baptist had his head chopped off, not Paul. Okay? So the reason why I bring that up, Miss Candy, in our learning center is because a lot of times we equate God to our level of success. In other words, won't he do it? It only comes out of the mouth of those who God have, you know, to them, they've made it.
Amen.
See, this is why I've always had a problem, and this is me personally talking, as we talk about the learning center, Miss Candy. When people say, I'm so glad that I'm not homeless and on the streets. See, I put that on pause, because if somebody's homeless and on the streets, are you saying they have less of God? He's not with them? Well, if that's the case, your Savior was on the street because homeless people don't have a place to lay their head. Guess who also didn't?
Jesus.
That's strong, huh?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
That's very strong, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at that, it's like we got to be careful of our words. And then we can easily say, well, I didn't mean it that way, but from the abundance of the heart, the mouth shall flow. Unless God be alive. So these are some of the things that we should have picked up this past week. Okay, God is with you all the way. Successful marriage, he's with you. Divorce, he's with you. You're doing great, he's with you. You don't think you're doing so great, he's with you. You got in trouble with the law, he's with you. You are the law, he's with you.
Yes.
Well, what else should we know? And that's a great, I'm telling y'all, y'all go read up on that now. Read up on John the Baptist, and then you just saw a little bit about, you know, Paul. Read more about this. Study God's word. And that'll put us in a place, because a big question is, why as we as Christians always suffering when God is with us? But the Bible says the master suffered. This is why I can rest assured and smile, Miss Candy. The master suffered. Past tense. Surely the servant will.
Yes, sir.
When God is with you, in other words, y'all got to hear this now. I love this, because this is scripture that we forget about a lot of times. Mr. DJ, listen to this one. The Bible says to befriend the world is to be an enemy of God. In other words, the Bible says, how can two walk together lest they be in agreement? When you walk in accordance, in oneness with the world, if your actions, your attitude, your verbiage, your tone is one with the world, God is still with you, but are you with God? Because the reason why God remains with us is a number of numerous different reasons, but one of which is because he always plants this thing called a U-turn that we can get it back right. It's called repent.
Yes, sir.
Some streets don't have a U-turn. See, when we get rid of somebody, Mr. DJ, we can say, you keep on going. Don't turn back, because I ain't with you no more. You'll never get that opportunity to hurt me again. But God said, I'm going to give you the opportunity to get it right. We look at the negative. God looks at the great. We tell people, hurt me once, shame on me.
That's right.
Shame on you. Hurt me twice, shame on me. In other words, we're saying, I'll never be a fool again. But if that makes you a fool, how many times has God been a fool to you?
My Lord.
And we never, ever, this is the kind of conversations that make people mad a little bit, DJ, and I'm fine with it. But we never, ever want to hear the true word of God. We want the pacified word of God. We want the word of God that does, you know, that's what the enemy does. Y'all heard about racism? Well, typically racist people say stuff like, there you go, pulling the race card, you race baiting. In other words, they never want you to say anything, you know, about racism. It's just like a child molester or a rapist. They never want you to expose them.
That's right.
Ain't that something? So this is our learning center. As Christians, why do we have a problem with exposing ourselves? Yeah, I know that's true. That's true, right?
Yes.
We have a problem with exposing ourselves. We don't have a problem with exposing somebody else. But we have a problem with exposing ourselves. This is why we never really like to dive into the Word of God, especially with teachers and leaders that put the Word of God on us. We like the outward experience, that we want the feel-good message that says what I'm doing is okay. You don't have to study the Word of God to be saved. Okay. That's like you're not going to work. How you going to make a living? Well, God, y'all did say God is with me all the way. He is, but if you don't recognize him, how would you know?
Amen.
This is why your eyes well up with tears. This is why your struggle seems so heavy. This is why when things happen, you get this, you know, you just roll up in a fetal position and despair strikes you. You know why? Because you don't believe that God is there. You know why you don't believe that God is there? You don't know how to recognize him. We think that God is a feeling, because that's what you learned in church. So when the Holy Spirit hit me, I'm a dance. You better get up out of here with that. God is not a feeling. God is a knowing. A feeling can't describe my God. Because if it could, all you need to do is lay down and have sex and you got him. Because how many people say, oh God, when they laying down doing it? Oh, yeah, everybody quiet now, huh?
Mm-hmm.
People, the thing is, God is with you all the way. When are we going to step our maturation game up? And I'm using the word game loosely. When are we going to mature? When are we going to put away those childish things of the world? Do you think it's time to stop doing that stuff?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Because we can have calls like this every day, and Miss Candy and I can be pulling our head out like, man, are they getting it? Why, you know, that don't mean nothing. If people don't want it, so we got to get it too. But you have to want the Word of God. Why do you all think that the Bible said the road to hell is broad, many will travel it, but the road to heaven is narrow, few will find it? If God be with all of us all the way, why did he allow them to go to hell? Hold on. Did he allow them to go to hell, or did they send themselves to hell?
All right.
See, the things in the world, you got to be careful. There's also something Mr. DJ called the lower class. Miss Candy, there's something called the middle class. Miss Sharon, there's something called the upper class. See, the lower class is people who can bust hell wide open, huh?
That's right.
They demonic, they curse, all this. Whatever you think naturally, exteriorly, the outward, that you can judge, they're going to hell. But see, I'm going to tell you, that middle class is something that ain't nothing to play with. Don't y'all know that the middle class, you know, consumes more of America? Because in the middle class, you have the middle, then you have the upper middle, and then you have the lower middle. That middle class is the food, if I can use that word. It really is. Watch this. God is with us all the way. That middle class is the type that the upper middle is. We go to church, we know the word, but we just not fully sold out. That's that carnal Christian. And carnal Christians typically don't know it because they never want to expose themselves. They get angered when the word of God sets on the things, comes steps on the scene. They get angered by the word of God when it's true. They get angered by it. You know why? Because it challenges them. It doesn't challenge you based on what you know. It challenges you based on what's in the corners of your heart. And I ain't talking about your emotions. I'm talking about, do you forgive other people like you want them to forgive you? I'm talking about, do you pray for others like you want them to pray for you? I'm talking about, do you see your wrongdoing? Or do you only see this? See, that upper middle is something else. Now, that middle, they just straddle. They go Sundays, Wednesdays, and then go to the club on Friday, Saturday. See, they double up. Two for two.
Yes, sir.
Now, that lower middle. God is with me all the way, huh? That lower middle, yeah. See, that lower middle, they go because mom and them told them. They go because it's the right thing to do. And sometimes I don't go, but hey, you can't judge me. See, middle class is the broadest out of all classes. I want y'all to know that. So, you see, people ain't just busting hell wide open. But see, the thing is, if you go to hell, you go to hell. Bust it open or not. See, now with the upper class, though, that's a very small few. The Bible itself says the righteous shall barely make it in. Now, God is with us all the way, Mr. DJ, but the righteous shall barely make it in. In other words, if it's hard for them to barely make it, where everybody else going?
My Lord.
This is why I say we don't have no time to be shucking and jiving, because we hear the word and the Bible. Why do you think the Bible was written so long ago and look at it come to pass? Has it not even, you know, judged you? It's judged me a lot. Look at the Bible. Be hearers and doers of the word. Don't just be a hearer, but be a doer. How many times we got a word and we went back the next day, next week, next month and did the same thing that we heard? And what's our excuse? For God know my heart. But I just thought he said be a doer. So, see, look at that middle class. You see what I'm saying? And then we throw other people in the line of fire and say, ain't nobody perfect, but we ain't talking about nobody. We're talking about you. Ain't this something? But Mr. DJ, we're going to get straight to it. Because this person here is ready. She told me she is ready. Miss Tiana, you want to go on ahead and unmute Miss Brandy? Man, you want. She's going to challenge you tonight, Mr. DJ.
Okay.
I know you're up for it. Miss Brandy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Good evening.
Good evening.
Miss Brandy, you want to tell us where you're calling from?
I'm calling from Grand Prairie, Texas. It's close to Dallas, Texas.
Okay. She had to sneak Dallas in there. Now go ahead and tell us what you really want to say about Dallas.
Dallas Cowboys, woo!
Now you done made about five people hang up. So y'all, let's get to it. We got some questions, and again, if you have any, you know, questions, if you have, if you want to chime in on the answers, if you want to share your thoughts about it, please press star 5 and we'll get to you. Miss Candy, just let me know. All right, Miss Brandy, I'm going to give Miss Brandy the floor first, Mr. DJ, on the first question.
Okay.
Y'all ready?
Okay.
All right.
Here we go.
All right, first question I have from the email. Where's my email list? Miss Candy, you want to go with the first question that you have for this evening?
Okay. Give me 1 second here. The question.
I have Miss Candy. I'm sorry. Let me get to it. I have it. Okay. Because I send her the emails, too, just so in case I do this. Okay. Miss Brandy, the question is, I sinned deliberately again. Does that mean that I abandoned God or has God abandoned me?
Okay. So in this case, I believe that the person is abandoning God if the person is sinning deliberately. Because you're pretty much saying I'm sinning because I know I'm going to get forgiven, so I'm just going to continue to sin. So you acknowledge that you are sinning. It's not like it's something that happened and you, like, God asked for forgiveness, but you keep doing it. So that's abandoning God. That's not following, being obedient to his word.
Okay. Mr. DJ, I'm going to repeat it one time for you.
Okay.
Email question was, I sin deliberately again. Does that mean that I abandon God or has God abandoned me?
Well, let me get one thing straight. First of all, God never abandons you. God is perfect. So it's definitely not him. You need to check into yourself. You have abandoned him more than anything. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, which means it don't go nowhere. It's always right there. It's right there where you left it, where you ignored it, where you walked away from it, where you tried to hide it, why you sin and come back to it. It's still right there. So now God didn't abandon you. He's undefeated. He's undisputed. And his credit is always good. There's never, ever, ever been a time that he has failed or let us down on anything. We've let him down a billion times. But there's never been a time that I can recall or even read about or even thought twice about. Even when your loved one is killed, you never know why. You know, so if you're sinning deliberately or undeliberately, you got to get away from that sin. That's not on him. That's on you. You may need to seek a different influence. You may need to get somewhere where you can get back your strength in the word, as you were supposed to be in the first place. If this one is not working, then you need to go somewhere else and seek someone else. You know, so, yeah, God didn't abandon you. You abandoned him.
Okay. Now, Ms. Brandon, let me get back to that same question. They said they sinned deliberately. But this is a question I'm going to pose to you, Ms. Brandon.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Even though they sinned deliberately, why does the scripture say then that a righteous man will fall several times but get up?
Because God is going to forgive every time that we sin as long as we ask for forgiveness. So we have the chance to recover or to stop the deliberately sinning at some point, but hopefully we won't do it when it's too late, when it's time for judgment.
Okay. Mr. DJ, so Ms. Brandon says that God is going to forgive us every time that we sin, okay? Although this is a deliberate sin, you know, so if he's going to forgive us and he forgives everybody and he's always with us, why then are there still people that's going to eternal damnation?
People are going to eternal damnation for their own selfish reasons. Again, God never fails. The strength is not so much about the sin. It's about the forgiveness and the fact that you can give up. When you get up, that means that you're not a sinner. We live in sin, but that doesn't make you a sinner. A sinner is a person that practices sin. In other words, you don't get up. You just continuously do those things of the world, and you don't know who he is. You don't seek his face. You don't study him. I mean, he knows that we are human. But when you get up and use that as a, I mean, when you give up, not get up, give up, and just utilize that as a crutch, then you're still in sin. Uh-huh. And no, he doesn't know you. It's not until you are exposed to the light, the way and the truth. When you know that you've done wrong, and you get up and you clean up yourself, that's when it's time to do right. Look at the prodigal son. You know, he was out there in the world, but then there's a time that he came back home, and first thing they did was put a ring on his finger and a robe on him and clean him up.
Okay.
Go out and kill the best calf. Eat this meat.
Okay.
Let me remind you who you are. And that's how God does us. You know you're my child, right? You done been out there in that foolishness, but you know you are my child. Let me remind you why you are my child. So, yeah, he doesn't turn his back on you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now. There it is, Ms. Brandon. He's throwing some little bolos over there. Miss Candy. Okay. Go ahead and go with the second email question from Miss Candy.
All right. The second question, it says, I am a divorced mother of two who has been listening into the calls this week. How do I get my kids to understand I'm with you all the way when my husband and I couldn't even stay married?
Mr. DJ, you go first.
Okay, how is it that you can get your kids? Can you repeat that part again?
Certainly. I'll start at the beginning. It says, I'm a divorced mother of two who has been listening into the calls this week. How do I get my kids to understand I'm with you all the way when my husband and I couldn't even stay married?
Well, first of all, your husband ain't got nothing to do with I'm with you always. That was supposed to have been his promise, but you got to get right with God and make sure those kids understand the power of God and his strength. Even though whatever happened between you and your husband, it's going to work itself out one way or the other. But God, that same God that was with you before you met that man, is the same one with you now without him. For whatever the circumstance was, you know, I'm not pointing a finger at anyone, but that same God is there. He's there with the kids, and it's very, very important for them to pray even stronger to grow in the strength and bring you guys closer. So God has nothing to do with the demise of that marriage. Maybe that marriage wasn't yoked in the first place. I don't know the circumstances of the marriage. But either way it goes, you know, God, that's not on him. You know, you went before him, and you committed just like the other person committed. So that same God is still there, whether you committed or not. He's still the same one there.
Okay. Ms. Brandon, what you got?
I agree with Mr. DJ. I agree that's two separate things. I believe the children need to know that God is always with them, no matter where they are or what they're going through. Just because mom and daddy aren't together doesn't mean God is still not there. He's there regardless if we're in the same house or we're not. We're still one big family, and God being the center of that family. So the kids still need to know he's always there through everything, through the good or the trying times. He's there, and then we're gonna make it through. But he'll never leave us or forsake us. So,
Miss Candy, I want you to play devil's advocate. You the children. How you gonna respond to those two answers?
But if you and my father are supposed to be the model of what God looks like here on earth, then how can I understand that concept when you all promised to be together, you all said that you are not going to divorce, but you divorced so easily. So if you are the model of what God is, then how can I believe that God is always going to be with me if the two of you didn't stay together?
Okay, well, can I go ahead?
Yeah, go ahead, Ms. Vita.
Okay, well, first of all, we're not the model. We're your parents, but we're not the model. But we are your teachers and strength. And I would probably encourage the other spouse to join me in educating them a little more about what it means to worship God and trust and believe in God. Like I said, adults do things that are human just like kids. And for whatever the reason, I don't know the circumstance, but for whatever the reason, the marriage did not work out. We're still going to be your parents. You may not like your mama or your daddy, but we the ones that created you and brought you here. And sometimes mom and daddy don't get along. But one thing that never, never, ever changed is God. And I would drive that point home. He's unchanging, unmovable.
Gotcha. Ms. Brandy, you want to add anything?
Yes, I would just say that God's love is unconditional, and that, you know, we can't put our trust in man. And so I would let the child know, you know, God is our center, and we have to remember that over me, over daddy, over whoever. He's who we go to first. I'm here to help guide you, but like DJ said, he's our model, not me or your father.
Gotcha, gotcha. Ms. Candy, did they have anyone press star 5 to help with that one?
No, sir.
Okay. Let me get to the next email question. I'm going to start with you first, Ms. Brandy. All right, it says, is it possible to be with God all the way yet so many of my Christian friends can't even maintain natural earthly relationships in a godly manner?
So the question is it possible for me, the person, to be all the way with God? Is that the question?
It says, is it possible to be with God all the way, yet I see so many of my Christian friends that can't even maintain natural earthly relationships in a godly manner? In other words, they're saying, you know how people say, you know, God is with me and I'm with God, yet their natural relationship.
Yeah, okay. No. That can't be, because if we are one with God, meaning all the way, we should be able to bring peace to situations, to be able to bring calmness to situations, to be able to deal with situations in a peaceful manner. You know, still get your point across, but there doesn't need to be confusion or try to build relationships and not tear them down. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay. Mr. DJ, what you got?
I believe, for one, be careful of the title friend and realize what a friend is. Sometimes we confuse friend with acquaintance. If your friends, quote-unquote friends, are having these issues of something that you can see, something that you know needs to be intervened, you need to speak with them, especially if they're reaching out to you for help. You know, they're in an unhealthy relationship or wondering why. Just like most friends, you're going to be there to comfort them, but you're going to tell them something. If I see Mr. Carr, you know, keep choosing these girls out the club that are strippers and being on the pole, I'm going to pull them aside. Hey, bro, you might want to leave them alone. You don't need to be fooling with that. You're better than that. You know, not because of what they do, but because of what's done to you and what you're doing to yourself, what you're allowing yourself to be involved in. That's not even you.
Gotcha.
So, you know, you gotta. It's a two-sided thing, but with one common purpose, and that's, again, trust God. He never fails. I mean, so why not do the right thing? It's like a preacher preached a sermon to me and said, "Take a chance. The fight is fixed. So why not take a chance? You know the results."
Gotcha. All right. Good answers. All right. Here we go. Last question now. Mr. DJ, I'm going to start with you first, then you, Ms. Brandy. The question is, if God is always with me, why does he not answer my cries when I need him most?
First of all, God is always with you, and sometimes his answer is silent, and it's for a reason. He's God all by himself. We cannot begin to understand his ways and his thinking. Sometimes the best answer is no answer. And we may not understand that. Sometimes it's a yes, sometimes it's a no. Sometimes it's a sit there for a minute and weigh your options. You don't even know what you're asking for. Do you really want me to give you this? I used to always say, give me $10 million, give me $10 million. Over half of us, if we had $10 million, wouldn't know what to do with it. Sometimes people with money and people who have $10 million will tell you things were a lot easier when I didn't have $10 million. You can go to the mall. You can go grocery shopping on your own free will and don't have to worry about nothing. You get that kind of money, do you know the magnitude of problems that will come your way? You can't just go regular to church or walk down the block or go to the gym and work out. You can't go to the grocery store. You can't do none of that stuff like you normally would do. It changes. So the question is, are you really ready for that? You got to be careful of the thing. Sometimes we're so impatient with God and not realizing he is God. He knows best. You driving in a car, you wondering why the car in front of you is going so slow. Like, move. Oh, my God. That's the first thing we say. Please get him out the way. Or have road rage. We're not realizing that's God's way of slowing you down. It might be a bad accident getting ready to happen up there, and he don't want you to be a part of it. So, again, sometimes no answer is the best answer.
Gotcha. Ms. Brandy, what you have to add with that?
I like to add that sometimes the not getting an answer is a teaching or a learning for that person. I know for me, it's a learning. Because sometimes we have to go through things to know and to call for him. Because going through the trials, we become more mature and we're able to lean on him more. But if we don't go through any trials or if he answers everything we ask for, then why do we need him? Or we won't continue to call on him. So there's times that he's silent so that we can learn and we can grow and we can know that he is the sole provider or sole comforter or sole helper, whatever he is at that particular time that we need. But we have to go through that particular time of silence, and we have to grow in that time and learn in that time and build others in that time.
Amen.
That's what it is. Thank you so much, Ms. Brandy, for joining that hot seat tonight, and you know, as always, it is a pleasure to hear from DJ. You know, this is what we do. So I thank everybody for calling in. Let me conclude everything with two of the questions. The question that Ms. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, Mr. Carr, we have a couple of hands raised.
Oh, yeah, sure. Let's get to them then. Go ahead.
All right. Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Hello?
Yes, we're here.
Hi, this is Dawn. I'm calling from Jonesboro, Georgia.
Okay.
And I just had something to add about the question about not hearing from God. When I can't remember the exact verb, but it was not hearing from God at their at this certain point or whatever. I just wanted to point out that Psalms 32:8 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. A lot of Christians want to use God like some kind of genie and just call on him in an emergency. But if the person isn't reading the word and keeping themselves in the word on a daily basis, they might not hear from God because his answer is in his word. And he also tells us he sends us the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, in John 14:26. So if we're not hearing from God, it's probably because we're not in his word. He's not just a genie. He's not just going to pop out when we're in an emergency. We need to talk to him. He wants to communicate with us on a daily basis.
Amen. Thank you so much, Ms. Dawn. That's excellent, y'all. Yeah, that's good. He said, those who hunger and those who thirst, y'all, we can't go a day without eating. What do? We get weak.
Amen.
You know, and then she also just said, made a great point. God wants communication. Well, if you hadn't heard from your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your husband, or your wife, your kids, you get word, don't you? God don't get word because he's still right there, but the fact of the matter is communication is key. You know, and I tell anybody, if we chase God like we chase our worldly desires, we all would be in shape.
Amen.
Funny. Thank you so much, Ms. Dawn.
Welcome.
All right. Who else we got, Ms. Candy?
Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Yes, good evening. I was going to add to what you just said. 1 John 5:14-15 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So the key word there is if we ask anything according to his will. A lot of times some people have prayers and they go and petition God for selfish things and lust and desires of their own heart. So you have to be sure that when you go to God, you're going to him, you know, with things that are meaningful, and be sure that it's, you know, something that's within his will, because that's what you want for your life. So he's hearing you whenever you petition him for something that's within his will. So you have to be careful, you know, they say be careful what you ask for. So you also need to be careful what you pray for, because you shouldn't just go to God with just anything. It should be a meaningful prayer. You don't go to him and just ask him for new shoes unless you're barefoot and you really need shoes. You know what I'm saying? So it has to be according to his will.
Gotcha. Where are you calling from?
This is Key. I'm calling from Hamlin, Louisiana.
All right. Ms. Key calling from Hamlin. Y'all heard that? According to God's will. And that was an excellent point she just brought up. According to his will. If you ask anything according to his will. Do y'all know the will of God? You know what a will is? Typically, who's included in people's will?
Family,
uh-oh.
Loved
one. Uh-oh. It get real.
Mm-hmm.
Loved ones are included in the will.
That's right.
Wouldn't that be? Wouldn't dependents be included in the will?
That's right.
So, see, God don't have a written will. He have a spiritual will. See, written wills can be altered by man. The reason why a lot of times things go unanswered is because we don't know the will of God. The reason why we don't know the will is because we're not connected to the Spirit. Y'all understand?
Yes, sir.
We're not connected to God's Spirit. What, this is what I mean by connected to his Spirit. And let me embrace what Ms. Key just said. Being connected to the Spirit, you will start to talk to somebody and you don't even know what you're saying is affecting them. And something they just experienced last week, last month, and they may have been needing an answer. The other people are going to play around and shake your head and pop you to the ground and, baby, God told me to tell you, it don't work like that. When it's the will of God, your mouth just starts to speak. God said he watches over his word, not our word. You'll start to speak to Mr. DJ, and that man might not ever tell you, but what you just spoke is because of what God told you to say. But see, what happens is we step outside of the will of God because we want DJ to acknowledge us as superior, not the word of God. So we ask God to give us the strength and the power to be mighty, but we're not in his will simply because we want glory for us. And God would never let nothing take glory away from him. Y'all don't hear me. This is why a lot of people that you love call ministry leaders and pastors, not knocking them. They came a tumbling down. It wasn't just because of them. It was also because of you, because God said, you are worshiping the wrong thing. But you didn't know the will of God, did you? His dependents, his children, know his will. Why? Because I know my daddy's voice. So the reason why I can get, the reason why Miss Key can get, the reason why Miss Tiana can get everything, y'all think they getting everything they ask for? God put it in their heart to ask. And God watches over his word. In other words, it was his will, not their words.
Amen.
All right.
Y'all hear that? So when somebody say, demon, come up out of them, let this situation be so, let them be progressive, let them do what God say do, and then they start doing it, don't think that that's them. They only say what God said. But somebody done got high and mighty, and they stepped outside of God's will, and they start adding on, Miss Candy. And that's why it never come to pass. Somebody told you something a long time ago that never come to pass? Why you think it ain't come to pass? Oh, hold on. Let me say this again. Somebody, you went to somebody church, and they said, time and dated, why hasn't it come to pass that you married? Now, somebody want to be quiet on this phone like this ain't happened before, huh? You know why? Because you took that loud talk as God's will, and why didn't it come to pass?
Mm.
God watches over his word, not ours. Make sense? And I love it. That means we're in tune. We're listening. We tired of playing church, are we, y'all? We want the real deal, not right? We didn't play good and we felt good and our lifestyle ain't never changed. We want the real word, don't we?
That's right.
So now, when I ask for whatever I want, if it lines up with the word of God, I'm going to get it. That's why I only ask what God tells me to ask for. So I don't look like a fool. Because see, some people got it twisted. God going to give you the desires of your heart. Your desire better not go anywhere outside of his will. Bet. And that's why some people still struggling to this day. Because they want will to be answered, not God's. All right. That's all we have, Miss Candy?
Yes, sir.
All righty. So, y'all, I do apologize for going over, but, hey, great learning center. The second question I really want to touch into, Miss Candy, as I conclude everything. The question was, I'm a divorced mother of two who has been listening in to the calls this week. How do I get my kids to understand I'm with you all the way when my husband and I couldn't even stay married? This is very vital and very important. First of all, it's very important that when we tie the knot, you're using the same light shoestrings. In other words, you have to be equally yoked. See, we have 20/20 hindsight. It's easy for people to blame the other person. That's going to be the middle class. That's going to be your big old, that upper, middle, and lower middle class. Somebody going to fall in that category of pointing fingers. Come on. We do 100% test right now. Huh? For every 10 people, 9.5 gonna say it was the other person's fault. But the problem is here. Okay? God is with you all the way. When God is with you all the way, do not do anything without his permission. What we do is we jump into marriage and then we ask for forgiveness later. But what you done just did was, now you done set a whole thing in motion. Called sin nature, hence Adam and Eve. Do y'all not understand that we're still under that? Do y'all not understand that we under Adam and Eve's curse? And don't get mad at them because we'd have did it too. So if we're taking on their curses, their sins, do you not understand your kids can take on yours? Uh-oh, people don't want to hear this, Miss Candy. In other words, this person clearly question was, when I am not, me and my husband couldn't stay married. You're right. First of all, were y'all both in God? One of y'all had to be in God. Because if one of y'all wasn't in God, see, the problem is we get married and people not in God, they just talk about God. Because somebody would say, nope, I'm not doing this because, see, God didn't put this together. Because what God put together, let no man separate, put asunder. So I can't marry you because I don't want that, you know, I don't see where the vibe is. I don't see where the relationship is in God. See, how I know this to be true? Right now, you have friends that want to talk to you aside from God. Mr. DJ, they know you doing your God thing now. They don't want to hear about your God thing. They want to hang out with DJ. Okay? With that being said, how do you think so many people get trapped up in marriage and they know that person wasn't for them, but they wanted to be with that person outside of God?
Mm.
Now you got these two young, innocent children involved. Adam and Eve, you got a whole world involved because of you, too. You know how hard your ministry going to be? You can play that game and say, yeah, but them, and all these answers we got, you understand that kids are impressionable. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. They are not there yet. The age of innocence is 11, 12, somewhere around that. They don't even know. This is why you still use the belt, because if you didn't have to use the belt, you just use the word of God, don't you? All right, so you make them feel the belt too, don't you? So if you use natural things to make them understand power, how are you going to make them understand unity if it not be for natural things? Hmm? Now see the uphill fight that you're about to fight now? You're about to have to fight a big old uphill, both of you, both parents, regardless who's at fault, both of you are. Because now you got two innocent children that hear what y'all saying about God, but they don't believe it because they don't naturally see it.
True.
Come on, Miss Candy, that's true?
Yeah, that's true.
So we got to be very careful, not so much of who we select. We got to be careful of who we are. Because, see, it's easy for me to say, yeah, be careful who you select, and then everybody y'all going to be excited. But y'all know me. I got thick skin. I don't go with the crowd. So I'm not going to say, be careful who you select. You need to be careful of who you are. Because ain't nobody make you do nothing. You chose to. Y'all follow me? God say, I'm with you all the way. Just because he's with you, that don't mean you won't block him out. Because I can have partners with me. If I don't want to hear from him, we say stuff like, nah, 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 in the booth, well, I don't want to hear you. And that's what we do to God. And this is when we make decisions that we regret. But you got innocent kids, and what you do, and what we typically do, is we start making excuses for our wrongdoing, and we start pointing fingers at the other person. Not only do we say, God get them, we say, children, y'all don't have to respect them.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all see how that gets very encrypted?
Yes, sir.
Huh? Because of whose decisions? Adam and Eve's, huh? Because of ours, huh? Yeah, God would still protect them kids, just like God would still protect us. But why are we still sitting up here and we need to see God naturally? Because of Adam and Eve, we wouldn't have had to see God naturally. They was naked and didn't know it. But our parents messed our stuff up, just like them two parents messed them kids' stuff up. Ain't that something? Or is that real? But do understand that God is still with you all the way.
Mm.
All right. Thank y'all for calling in, Mr. DJ. You going to go ahead and close out in prayer?
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you again, and we're just saying thank you. Thank you for bringing us together, keeping us on one accord, Father. Keep us together and in the right frame of mind. Keep us on the path to do those things that we need to do. We're seeking your face, Father. We're coming to worship in your name and to get the word. And also, let something said touch everyone that's listening under the sound of my voice. Help us to be an example to others, as well as the discipline to control ourselves. Bring us back together again on one accord. Bless every heart that's on this phone. In your son Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Y'all have a great night. Okay, next week, get somebody else to call in. Okay, DJ is enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. I hope y'all are enjoying these questions because these are real-life, everyday email questions. All right? Y'all have a great night. Catch us on Wednesday for Bible study.
Good night.
Good night.